Although there's always something shiny and new in the tech world, iPhone 6, I'm looking at you. If you compare our tech gadgets to the tech gadgets on Star Trek, we're still woefully primitive. For example, we can't be beamed anywhere. But if we're using the Star Trek benchmark for technology, Todd Bishop has a ray of hope for us. Todd is the co-founder and editor of the tech news site GeekWire, and late last week, in an apartment in downtown Seattle, he had a kind of Star Trek experience that may soon be available to all of us. Hi, Todd.
How's it going, Jeannie?
Good. So what was the Star Trek experience?
So it was based on the Oculus virtual reality headset, which some people may have seen out there. It essentially wraps around your eyes, and it's a big, bulky type of headset that you wear. The main difference with this implementation that I got to experience there in downtown Seattle was that it was wireless. In other words, usually the Oculus is tethered to a computer. In this case, the wires were running into a backpack that were working over wireless HDMI to a computer across on the other side of the room. It was an experience developed by this team called Atomic VR. The guys are Mike Lindsay and Ben Teitler. And it was essentially a holodeck because I was able to stand there and I was on a platform and there was a drone attacking me. I had two energy swords in my hands virtually. The controllers were projecting it. And I'll tell you, it was so real. My brain was telling me, don't step forward because you're going to fall off the platform. That's how genuine it was. And it's really an example of how far virtual reality has come. You know, it's one of those things that seems fits and starts over the years. I think some of the early implementations were so primitive in terms of the low frame rates and just lack of reality that people dismissed it. And now you're seeing with Oculus and the advance of technology, some very realistic virtual reality scenarios come into play.
So you got this amazing holodeck-like experience where your brain was telling you, don't move. My energy swords might not protect me enough.
Exactly.
But what does that mean for the rest of us who don't have access to this kind of thing as part of our job? When might I be able to have an experience like this?
So Oculus is actually working on its developer kits right now, and they're out there in the public, although they're very geeky and they're hard to implement. You're also seeing some other consumer electronics technology companies start to come out with implementations. I would say my best guess is that by 2016, the holiday 2016, conservatively, you are probably going to have one of these systems on your holiday wish list.
Holiday 2016. Okay, I think I know what my kid's going to be asking me for then. I'm talking with Todd Bishop. He's the co-founder and editor of the tech news site GeekWire, and he joins us regularly to talk about the latest local tech news. And so I was excited to talk about fictional space stuff with Star Trek. I loved the comparison you made in the piece you wrote about this virtual reality experience. But there's actual space travel news happening as well here. So
absolutely, yeah. Right. Last week, NASA awarded the long-awaited contract to shuttle astronauts to the International Space Station to Boeing and to SpaceX, the two private ventures that had been competing for that. As part of that, we actually had an interesting local connection with one of our moguls. Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin, which is based right down in the Kent Valley, won a deal with a Boeing joint venture, the Boeing joint venture, the United Launch Alliance, to supply a rocket engine to them that could potentially end up being used someday to transport the astronauts to the ISS.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
It is.
But I am wondering, what's the significance of this kind of private-public partnership that's happening with NASA and Boeing, or NASA and Jeff Bezos's company, for example? What's going on there?
Yeah, so you're seeing the commercialization of space travel in a lot of ways, and it's happening purely in the private sector with people like Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson and Elon Musk, and even Paul Allen is doing this with the world's largest airplane that's going to be launching from the stratosphere. But you also are seeing these public-private partnerships as a new way to replace the retired space shuttle program. And that was the main thing that you saw last week with Boeing and SpaceX winning that contract. The fascinating thing with the Blue Origin situation is that they will actually be replacing a Russian-made rocket engine. So that is one way that the U.S., even as they move away from NASA, even as the government moves away from direct NASA-developed spaceflight to the space station, they're trying to still rely on U.S. contractors to a large extent and deal with the international relations in that way.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to make a little bit of a prediction here. Do you think we're going to see more local tech billionaires get into the space race here?
You know, there's so many already. It's hard to imagine who else, unless unless Bill Gates decided to put some kind of rocket launching system on top of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or maybe at the Space Needle, perhaps. You know, you never know what the 22nd century could bring for that.
Fair enough. I like the idea of something being on the Space Needle. But I want to bring it back to something that I brought up at the very beginning of this interview. I mentioned the iPhone 6 when we first started talking, and GeekWire reported today that the iPhone 6 broke previous iPhone sales records by selling some 10 million phones this weekend. And I thought about what was interesting about this, and I just kept coming back to this question. Why should we care that the iPhone 6 is selling so much?
It's funny. Smartphones have reached the point where they're almost like fashion, where we have trends. And the big trend with the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus launch on Friday is that the screen sizes are getting bigger. They went from about 4 inches diagonal with the iPhone 5S to about 4.7 and 5.5 inches with the iPhone 6 Plus. And so what this is going to mean is you are going to see bigger and bigger screens as people follow the lead of Apple, which is following the lead of Samsung in this case. And so to some extent, it's a taste-making moment that is going to define the way we use phones for at least the next year or two.
Why do bigger screens matter?
You know, it's essentially a good way to see more apps. It's a good way to experience things in more depth and more richness. That said, it's just another piece of the market that Apple has not yet tapped. And as the iPhone and smartphones in general are maturing, you're seeing them essentially go into these new niches. And that opens up the opportunities for people who are out there looking for a phone.
Todd, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Anytime, Jeannie.